Hi, you're listening to Funny You Should Ask, the podcast of Belmont Wesley Fellowship, and I'm David Hollis. I'm your host, and I'm the campus minister for Belmont Wesley Fellowship. Today I want to share about statues and memorials and how we as people of faith, and I can kind of speak only, I think, for my tribe as followers of Jesus as Christians, how are we to think about what's going on with removing statues or moving them to museums or other places and away from sort of public squares? And I'll share with you the situation that's happening right now. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't seen, but in our state capitol building, there is a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a Confederate general in the Civil War. Then we have a lot of different opinions. We know that he was a Confederate general. And depending on who you ask, he was either an amazing person who never had anything to do with the KKK, or he started the KKK. He either was loved by slaves and they were deeply devoted to him, or he was hated by them and he was a terrible person. I had this all sort of play out on my Facebook wall a few days ago, with people arguing about a person's life. And there have been many calls to remove the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest. And finally, there have been recently some ongoing protests, even some occupation. One of the goals is to remove the bust. And I have signed petitions, and I have spoken out, and I've emailed people, and I'll share with you maybe more about why that is the case. But I grew up, and I shared this in a recent email to people in the government, I grew up going to family reunions at Nathan Bedford Forrest State Park. And actually, I think when I was a really young child, I think we just called it Nathan Bedford Forrest. And I actually thought that it was a forest. It was a park named after a guy named Nathan Bedford. I, as a small child, was not a great historian on the Civil War. And so I didn't know exactly what was going on. I did know that when we went into the park, I saw a sign and it had a guy on a horse. And, you know, for a while I was really cool with people riding horses. And, you know, the older I get and the more I learned about it, I was troubled because really, I, even though I grew up in the South and I've basically always lived in the South, I think that the Confederacy was wrong and was deeply flawed. And, you know, any founding of America built on slavery was wrong from the jump, and then to try and hang on to slavery was doubly wrong. And so, you know, there are so many ways in which I feel that that entire effort was flawed and deeply wrong. I've never been a big person to sort of wave any kind of a rebel flag or call myself a rebel. You know, I probably at one point had a rebel flag on something, as I think, you know, just about every white person who grows up in the South at one time or another probably does. But that was not a big thing for me. And the more I learned about it, the more basically embarrassed I was of that. And that continued to remain a thing for so long. And it's still a thing. And we're still talking about this. So I, you know, had my own feelings about that. I came to the conclusion that, you know, this is not someone that we need to have a statue of or a bust of. particularly in a government building, particularly in a building that is supposed to say, everyone here is equal, everyone here is treated the same. You can't really have that. And this is part of an unfurling and an unveiling of that, I think, truth in America that has either been ignored or perhaps has been not ignored, but has been capitalized on, that when you put up statues of certain people, or when you put up flags, or even, you know, as a Christian pastor, I will say, you know, when you put up the Ten Commandments in front of a courthouse, or the Ten Commandments inside a courtroom, or a cross inside a courtroom, or all these different symbols, those have their place. And again, if we want to talk about something that is marking history, then those kinds of things, I think, generally belong in museums. We have museums. We have places for those things. You know, crosses and Ten Commandments belong in houses of religion that are devoted to those symbols. They don't, in my opinion, belong in the public square where everyone is supposed to be accounted as equal. If you are going into a courtroom and it has the Ten Commandments, and you're not a person who is following the Judeo-Christian religion structure, do you feel that you're going to be treated equally? Perhaps by a judge who you know is all in with that. Those are issues, again, that I think we have not even really begun to fully account for what's going on. Or we have, and there are people who just maybe don't care, or who are, that's the whole point of having those things there, is to say, yeah, you're not equal. That whole all people are created equal thing, of course, that's drafted by people who had slaves. And so all of this, I think, is together, and it has to be dealt with together. Now, all of the protests and the petitions and everything have moved one governmental body to vote to move the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest to a museum. There still has to be, apparently, another group to weigh in on this. And so, you know, it's just like anything that's done by groups of people or committees, it's never done until it's done. And it's not done yet. But I want to talk about, again, as a person of faith, as a pastor, as a Christian, that there's a lot, I think, to say there are problems when we make statues of anyone. And I'm not a big statue person. I kind of don't see the point. I think it's, you know, it costs money. Why are we spending money on this thing? And also, it generally assumes that this person is, you know, deserves to have a statue made of him or her. And regardless of where someone falls on kind of what they've done with their life, we know that there is no one who has not hurt someone. There's no one who has not said mean things to someone else. You know, like, there are people in my life who, yeah, if we're being pushed to build a statue, then yeah, I'll build a statue of them, because I think, but even then I know they're a flawed person because they're a person. And so we run the risk, I think, of having these symbols speak for us and identify us. And as people of faith, we should be really concerned about that, because there is a thin line, I think, always between these kinds of things and something that God has a major problem with, which is called idolatry. And idolatry, you know, can sound like a really big scary word, and it can, you know, come off meaning certain things perhaps, but, you know, really at the heart of it, it mean, and kind of the place in which we see God care about this is in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel start to become a people and they're entering into covenant with God, and God is saying, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, and here's what I want you to do. And that's where we start to get things like the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and a lot of other laws. And those laws are not meant to be burdensome. Those laws are meant to bring life. Those laws are meant to sort of set the boundaries of a relationship. Just like any agreement you enter into with another person is about setting boundaries and about saying, here's the kind of behavior that I want to see. Here's the kind of behavior that's not okay. As someone who's helping raise two young kids, all you ever do if you're raising them well is set boundaries and say, you know, this is not acceptable behavior. Doesn't mean I don't completely love them. Doesn't mean I wouldn't die for them. It means actually that I do completely love them. And by loving them, I'm trying to help them see that this is the kind of behavior that results in thriving and fruitfulness, and these other kind of behaviors don't. And so God is saying, you know, first and foremost, I'm going to be your God, but if I'm going to be your God, then you're not going to have any other gods. Other cultures at the time had tons of gods. We see the Israelites interact with the Egyptians. The Egyptians have, you know, basically a god for everything. And several other groups had various gods. And, you know, again, we don't know necessarily that Israel was the only monotheistic culture, but it was seemingly quite rare that they were monotheistic, meaning they only had one god. And God was really intense about that. And we, I think, can understand why. If you are giving your trust to someone, you want that to be reciprocated. If you're loving someone, you want that to be reciprocated. And so, again, one of those boundaries is you're not going to give your devotion to other gods. You're not going to give your devotion to other things. I want you to focus on me and what I'm telling you to do. And so when I post the things asking for this bus to be moved, I'm having people, you know, kind of come at me with, well, he changed his life and he died a good person and all of these different things. And I want to say to all of that, great. I'm glad he did that. That's what it's all about. That's what I'm here for, you know, conversion and change. That's what we see throughout Scripture, is time and time and time again, people go through changes. They go through conversions. They go through experiences, and they come out more loving and more forgiving and more charitable. And so, you know, that's great. At the same time, that doesn't mean we have to have a statue of him. I'm not saying, when I say don't build a statue to someone, I'm not saying that they're a terrible person or that everything they did in their life is awful, and I'm not saying that they're burning in hell. I'm saying when we build statues of people, that looks a lot like worship to me. I don't really see how people of particularly the Christian faith don't get that. I don't see why this is such a hard conversation. You're building a statue of someone. You know, you're casting it in bronze or these precious metal. Like, does that not look and sound a lot like something else to you? When, you know, Moses went up the mountain and he comes back down and there's this golden calf. And I mean, that whole story is really hilarious in the sense of the dialogue that takes place. And, you know, we probably have in our mind like movie images of him getting really mad, and probably he did. But just the whole way that that is explained is so ridiculous. But how on earth do you not see that happen or know about that story and pretty easily connect that with making statues of people? I just, you know, if you're not connecting that, then it's hard for me to kind of help you connect that. It's kind of like that thing, I don't know how to explain to you that you should care about other people. You know, I don't know how to explain to you that no matter how good a person is, what are we talking about? Building a statue of them with the money and the attention that that brings and everything else. And probably at some point, you know, like a lot of these statues, we're going to go in and we're going to say, oh, we found this. Uh-oh, got to go take the statue down, you know, and then what do you do with the statue? So I, again, think that we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, as children of God, who said, have no other gods before me. Don't have anything compete. To me, it's a no-brainer. Let's take what we would spend on the statues of people and say, you know, if they're living, like, what can we do to, I mean, can we start a scholarship in your honor, a foundation in your honor, something in your honor, in your memory that helps people? That's great. That's helping people. That's spreading, you know, the influence, and it's spreading the name of that person. And that's, you know, again, if I go tomorrow, and any of you hear this, there is no question at all that there will not be a statue built of me. But, you know, if you want to remember me and you know, think about the things that I loved and I cared about, and have those things be more accessible to other people. Now, if what you love is like enslaving people and going to war, then yeah, that's a difficult thing. I get that. But again, back to the horses. Maybe you foundation for horses. You take care of horses and more people can ride horses. And that's a good thing. So, as usual, I hope this episode was both meaningful and challenging and pretty funny, maybe, as we maybe sometimes make light of things that we shouldn't. But who's making those rules? And come talk to me, because we're trying to get through this, all of us. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.